This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Blues Focus. I'm joined today by Adam from the Pink Un channel. How are you doing, Adam?
Yeah, good, thank you. Fueled on caffeine today because it was a bit of a late night last night in the Carabao Cup for us. So I didn't get home till the early hours. So yeah, but looking forward to Saturday and this preview show.
Yeah, it should be a good game. As you say, we're previewing the game against Norwich that Blues have got on Saturday. Norwich currently sitting eighth in the table, only a point against Blues. Kind of similar season so far, really. Kind of had good starts to the season and then after the international break, starting to fall behind. But what are your thoughts on Norwich's season so far?
Yeah, as you say, it started probably unexpectedly quite strong. We had a really good pre-season. We were unbeaten and sort of came into the campaign a little bit uncertain. Lots of new signings, experienced players and some sort of less known players that weren't, you know, involved in English football prior to coming to Norwich. One against Hull, dramatic late winner on the opening game of the season, and they kind of kicked on from there, really. Victories against the likes of Millwall, Huddersfield, point away at Southampton, which at the time, given sort of their, you know, relegation, looked like a good point, maybe less so the way that it's turned out for them since. But we then lost Josh Sargent to injury against Huddersfield, and since then it's kind of been a bit of a downward decline. His ability to stretch the play, we brought in Ashley Barnes as well, who was kind of playing in the number 10 role. He's since got injured as well, so it's kind of been a big blow for us that the two main strikers that were kind of providing the goals early on in the season are both out till, well, November, Christmas time. So we kind of got to go with what we've got now, which is Adam Eder in reserve, who's a Norwich Academy player. Actually kind of never really had sort of a decent run of football, kind of always been the man who's been behind Timu Pukki or behind Josh Sargent as it is now. So he's really getting his opportunity. Did score two in a pretty grim defeat against Plymouth the other day, and we're kind of adapting to life without him. And David Wagner's kind of having to maybe sort of deploy different players in positions that weren't playing in those positions earlier on in the season. So it's been a little bit of an indifferent start. I think if we can get a win on Saturday, then the mood would probably be back to a positive start, where defeat would then maybe sort of look at that start and it would kind of become a little bit irrelevant, I'd say.
Yeah, Shay, you made a really good start to the season and Josh Sargent just kind of hit the ground running, really. And you've lost him and Ashley Barnes came in. And I mean, for me personally, when he was announced as a Norwich player, I thought, it's a really shrewd signing. Really, he's a leader, really knows the league really well. And I thought, okay, maybe this is time for Norwich now. They're going to start kicking on. And you say you had a really good start to the season and those injuries have come. And it's kind of like, got to kind of go back to what you're used to in Adam Eder. I mean, for me, he's always looking from the outside, seemed like a player that I always thought you would thrust into the first team and really get an opportunity. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's kind of had that difficult spell where he's always been the second man in reserve. Pukki was always, you know, as known, his goals record for us in the Championship was unbelievable. Even in the Premier League, he was a natural goal scorer. So he's kind of had that to deal with. And maybe in his youth days when he's sort of 18 and he broke on the scene in the first team, he probably needed a loan move. But because Norwich didn't really have any strikers in reserve, he kind of had to stick around. And he's now 22, but he's not really played a lot of minutes for a 22-year-old striker, which is maybe, I suppose, a bigger issue for him. He is in the Ireland setup, so he's starting to get minutes at senior level there as well. But now is his real big chance. And 4 goals so far this season, which, bearing in mind, he's only really starting games in the last sort of couple of games. Before that, many just substitute appearances. And you can see his confidence starting to grow, because I think that's probably the biggest problem with him is his confidence. He actually came off social media because he was getting so heavily criticised last season at times. And I think that you could see that in his game. It was almost like, if he got that moment in the game early on, he would actually have a really good game, where if he didn't get that, then he would struggle. We're starting to see the best of him. I thought second half against Plymouth, all right, we're 5-0 down and he can play with freedom. He was the one man on the pitch who you could see was really trying and has actually scored a really good goal. The first one he scored, the second one was a penalty. But yeah, I think he's the man now. It's his opportunity and I'm really hoping he can grasp it, because there's a player there and Norwich fans really want him to do well. But it's those flaws in his game which maybe sometimes sort of surface, and I suppose they get enhanced because of the issues in that Josh Sargent is just such a potent goal scorer for us, and you kind of get the comparison between the two of them, and it's a little bit unfair, I'd say. But now's his chance, and I'm really hoping that he takes it.
Yeah, I mean, looking at Ida, what you've described there, it seems a lot of like a confidence thing, and it reminds me a lot of Scott Hogan. The Blues, he's very much a confidence player in that if you give him a chance in the first 5 minutes, he probably buries it. Any other time in the game, we saw it in the last game against QPR, where he just hits it straight at the keeper, and it's one of those, and you can see him come off in that game, his head's down. It's almost like if he doesn't score, then his confidence is just shot. But then when his confidence is high, he's a really good player. I know start of the season as well, you've got a player called Rowe who he scored in something like, was it 5 games in a row at the start of the season?
Yeah, 5-5 for him, 4 in the league, 1 in the Carabao Cup. And I think we all thought we had the breakout star. He's kind of got a little bit quiet in the last few games, which is maybe to be expected, to dip off in form and the change of personnel up front due to injuries. But yeah, there's certainly a talented player there who England under 20 international now. He got a call up in the last break. So yeah, he's a player who I think we just need to keep grounded, because those inside the club, I think, feel that maybe the kind of praise he was getting, and the which is deserved for the way he's performing, but maybe don't let that get to his head, because he's still a young player who's only really sort of now getting his opportunity in the first team. Injuries have maybe prevented him from getting that previously. Last season, I think just a handful of minutes off the bench due to injury pretty much kept him out for the whole campaign. So he's now got competition, though. Borja Sainz, who's a Spanish winger who we brought in from Turkey, Giranispor in the summer. He's been injured for the whole of the campaign so far. Got his first minutes last night against Fulham, scored as well. So I think he's probably now the man who's going to be competing with Rowe. So maybe that competition will help him get back to the levels we saw in the early sort of appearances in the start of the season. But I actually wouldn't be surprised if he's dropped on Saturday. I think that's probably one of them where maybe just a break. Shemi Plaheta, I'm sure Birmingham fans will be aware of. He's kind of making a bit of a mark on the first team at the moment off the bench, and actually played pretty well as in the first half yesterday at Fulham. So I wouldn't be surprised if that was the rotation and we saw Plaheta in the starting 11 on Saturday.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised as well. I mean, he was a weird one at Blues, because he seemed to start really well. Like, we were playing a 5 at the back, and for some reason we decided to play him left wing back. But he started well, and then he changed and we never saw him again. And then we sent him back to January because I think it was we signed too many loan players and he was the odd one out that didn't fit the system. So it would just be our look for him to score. And it's usually Abel Hernandez that scores against us as well. Ono Hernandez.
When he was
fantastic. And I know he's been a player that Blues fans have been like crying out for and asking, like, oh, come back. But he seems to have settled a bit in the Norwich team over the last couple of seasons since he's been back. So knowing our luck, he'll probably bag a couple of goals against us. But we said about having a really good start to the season. Was it 4 wins in and a draw in your first 5 games? And then since then, it's been 1 win and 3 losses since. Obviously, you had the Plymouth game, was your last. Obviously, you played Fulham in the Cup, but in the league, Plymouth was your last game. It was a 6-2 defeat. What went wrong in that game for you? And what's been going wrong since kind of the international break? I know you've had your injuries, but has anything else been adding to that?
Yeah, I think like the first defeat was against Rotherham a few weeks back, and I think we all saw that as just a blip, one of them sort of games where Rotherham are good at home and the fans are up for the game, and maybe us trying to adapt to Josh Sargent was maybe the sort of underlying problem there. But since then, and we then went and beat Stoke 1-0, pretty gritty game, and I think just the quality we had maybe in the final third was enough to get us over the line. But the Leicester defeat, I kind of brushed that one underneath the carpet, because they're, I think, by far going to be the best team in the Championship this season, and they're only really starting to maybe show that. And I think that's one of them where we actually played quite well in the second half, and arguably on another day probably deserved a point, but they then hit us with a late goal to make it 2-0. But performance-wise, pretty positive. But Plymouth was everything that I slightly had concerns about. Defensively, Plymouth knew that we played quite a high line, and we liked to play out from the back. They pressed us really high, and sort of our experienced defenders in Shane Duffy and Ben Gibson both got caught a few times. And I think those pacey players that Plymouth had just caused our defence nightmares. And every single chance they had, they seemed to find the back of the net. And it was one of them where I think as soon as it went sort of, well, we're 2-0 behind just before the break, and then we conceded two within about 4 minutes, and that really killed us off. Second half, you can play with a bit more freedom because you're 4-0 down, 5-0 down at that point. So there's not really any onus for you to kind of sit back. You might as well go for it. We did get two goals, and yeah, there was sort of signs of, I suppose, life almost in the second half. But first half, yeah, I think we're really struggling to find the right balance now without Josh Sargent and Ashley Barnes. I think what he'll do on Saturday, David Wagner, is Gabriel Sara will move further forward. And we brought in Adam Forshaw from Leeds, who was released. I could see him moving back into the midfield, and that allows maybe Sara and Ida quite sort of on the same wavelength in terms of an attacking midfielder and a striker. So I could see him going for that. And I think that's probably the best way we're going to get any joy on Saturday. Because, yeah, at the moment, it does feel like we need someone to sort of get us moving forwards. I think, especially in transition, we were so good at the start of the season. We could pick the ball up and counter teams really, really quickly. And we sort of had that potent threat and the goal threat as well through Josh Sargent. And that's kind of dried up. So it's a difficult one, but our home form on the whole has been pretty good so far this season. 3 wins in 4, and the only defeat was against Leicester. So I think Carrow Road's maybe the fortress, and that will make it a little bit more of a difficult game than if it had been at St Andrews this Saturday.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think when I think back to games that we played in Norwich, we never seem to do well at Carrow Road. I can't really remember the last time we've got something there. It always seems to do that will either play well and your quality will just show and you get the point. That usually tends to happen, especially with Blues away. So I talked about, obviously, gone over it many times, good start to the season. What were your expectations at the start of the season for Norwich? And has that changed now that we're a couple of games into the season?
Yeah, I mean, last season was such a grim ending. We won one game in 11, and obviously we had Dean Swift in charge up till January. That was a really toxic end for him, and not great football. Bringing David Wagner, it looked like at one point we might be pushing for the playoffs, and that sort of drastically fell off a cliff. We then lose the likes of Timu Puki, who's just been such a stalwart for so long. He departs in the summer, and there's a little bit of uncertainty. Norwich kind of addressed the youthful nature of the squad by bringing in loads of experienced players, you know, Shane Duffy, Ashley Barnes, Jack Stacey, you know, lots of players who've got minutes in the Championship and the Premier League for, you know, sort of similar size clubs to us. And I'd say they've all had a pretty good impact, and pre-season was positive, although I was sort of reticent to make a judgment from that, just given it's pre-season and you can't really sort of lay down a marker till you start playing in the Championship. Then we had the start and it was so positive, and everyone kind of felt like this was a side that could compete in and around the top six this season. I probably still think they can. I think injuries will be the factor, because our squad's not overly deep. If the first team, you know, starters are all available, I'd definitely say we could be in the top six mix. A couple of injuries out of that and suddenly it maybe doesn't look the same way. I think it's important if we can get to January time when Josh Sargent's back and Ashley Barnes is back and we're in and around the top six, I'd definitely put us in there. If we're not and we're kind of mid-table, then obviously I think it's going to be a mountain too big to climb. So I could see us finishing anywhere between 6th and 10th. That's kind of my bracket, and that's what my gut instinct was. And I think that's still the same. Maybe a little bit more apprehensive now we've lost them two players, because it's kind of been more similar to last season. The issues have started to arise again. So certainly think we've got enough quality in the squad, but it's just a case of keeping players fit. I think that's the big issue there.
Yeah, I think I'd have to agree with you in that there's about 12 teams, I'd say, this season that are all going to be vying for that playoff spot. It's the quality in the league is really good this season. And you say you've got injuries. I think Blues have got quite a lot as well. I mean, we've just found out that Buchanan's injured as well for an amount of time. And I think a lot of teams are going to struggle with that. So I think your quality that you do have in the squad, the fact you've got a player like Adam Ida, who is third choice striker and is able to come in, I think that just shows your quality and depth. And for me, I think you are going to be in those playoffs towards the end of the year, really pushing for it, because you've still got that quality. I mean, players like Jack Stacey, for example, when you got him, he was one that I thought he could probably still do a job in the Premier League. So I think he'll really help you get there as well. So going on to Saturday, what are your expectations for the match? How do you think it's going to go? Maybe formation that you're going to play, style of play? What are you thinking?
Yeah, David Wagner's quite sort of firm in the way he likes to play. It's sort of it sort of adapts a little bit during the game. It kind of starts as a flat 4-4-2, but it's more of a 4-2-3-1 by the time the game starts. Given the injury situation, as I sort of alluded to earlier on in the show, I think Adam Forshaw will get his first sort of senior start from the beginning of a game in the league anyway on Saturday. And he'll come in and partner Kenny McLean. Gabriel Sara will then be freed up to play sort of the number 10 role. We could see Plaheta starting. We've got Fashnak on the right, who he brought in from Young Boys, who's a player David Wagner worked with when he was manager over there. A Swiss international, really experienced player, 29 years of age, sort of played in World Cups and the Europa League. So he's a player of good quality, maybe gone a little bit off the boil in recent games, but I think he'll start. Adam Eder up front. And then I think the defence is maybe where the question marks are, just due to the nature of the goals we shipped on Saturday against Plymouth. We brought in Danny Bart from Sunderland on a sort of free agent signing during the last window, yet to make an appearance for the club. Could see him being drafted in to play alongside Shane Duffy, and Ben Gibson dropping out because he made a few errors. And the fact he started last night against Fulham, I thought that was probably an indicator that the change is going to come on Saturday. Yeah. Jack Stacey at right back. And then left back, we've got Dimi Yiannoulis, who's a Greek international we've had for a few seasons now. And then Angus Gunn in goal, although I think there's a few question marks around him still because he had some injections in his shoulder this week, just a sort of minor injury there. So potential that he could be one that you sort of want to look out for, whether he starts or not. But the system is very much counter-attacking football. We're quite happy to let you have the ball, or any opposition team to have the ball, and then we just try and pick you off. And we're quite quick in transition to then sort of break on you. And the pace we've got down the flanks with the likes of Rowe and Plaheta and Ono Hernandez is quite dangerous. And then you're kind of then looking for the Adam Eder to try and stretch you in behind. And he's actually quite a natural finisher, which is something that is maybe not really recognised, I'd say, by opposition fans. I think he's got the highest shots to shots on target ratio in the Championship I saw this week. So yeah, if you give him a chance, he'll tend to hit the target. Whether it goes in or not, it's a different story. But I think I'm quite... It's a weird one, because I'm not overly positive like I was, say, if this game was 3 or 4 weeks ago. But I think given the response we saw in the second half at Plymouth, even the second team last night, sort of the players that played were pretty positive against a good Fulham side. So I think the mood's still relatively happy around the camp. And if we sort of win this game, it then maybe doesn't look so bad. 16 points from the opening, what would be 9 games at that point. So I'd have definitely taken that at the start of the season. So feeling positive. But as I say, I think the fact this is the Carrow Road factor for me, if this game was away, I'd feel a lot more sort of pessimistic than what I'd probably do, the fact we're playing at home this weekend.
Yeah, just you talking there, I can't believe how similar our teams kind of match up in both the way that we play and the feelings around the club. In that, obviously, you had a great start season, so did Blues. You've kind of fallen off, but that hope is still there. And the same with Blues as well. Like, yes, we've had some bad results, but everyone's still kind of on a high, expecting when players come back that we know that's when we're really going to kick on. And you saying as well, I think the Carrow Road factor is going to be a big one in this. I think if it was at St Andrews, then it would be flipped and we'd be going in as favourites. But I think the fact you're at home, I think you probably go in as favourites, edging it. Personally, I think it depends who has more of the ball. I think we're like you as well, that we like to kind of give up possession and let the other team have it, and then we'll quickly break on you. So we'll see. It's going to be a really fascinating game. Can I get a score prediction out of you for it?
Yeah, I think it'll be a tight game. I don't see overly sort of a high-scoring a thriller. I could see it being a close one with just one goal being enough to win the game. I'm going to go 2-1 Norwich. Probably Adam Eder to sort of break the duck as well, keep his goal-scoring form going, which would be great for him. And I'm expecting a tough game. I think it's one of them where it depends how we start the game. I think if we get the first sort of goal early on and everyone's back on board and the Carrow Road atmosphere is really positive, then I think it's going to be a difficult afternoon for Birmingham, where if you come and, you know, assert yourselves on us really early on and maybe hit us on the counter, get a goal, then I think it could turn quite easily at Carrow Road, given the way that it's kind of transpired in recent weeks. So that would make it a different game. But yeah, I think given the quality we've got in the final third, I'm going to go for a narrow 2-1 Norwich win.
Super, fantastic. Well, thank you for coming on to the podcast now. Before you go, do you want to shout out your socials so the viewers can go and find out your channel and what you're all about?
Yeah, so I'm part of the Pinkun team, which is a sort of Norwich media site. We have a sort of part of a newspaper brand, so we're sort of in the print media. We've got digital media as well, so we've got an app, we've got a website. On YouTube, Pinkun, sort of pre-match previews, opposition views, post-match analysis. We speak to the managers, so we've got press conferences, reaction, all of that jazz is on our YouTube channel. Vlogs, everything you really want around a match day. We then have a podcast as well, which you can find on YouTube, where you can find through all the sort of audio platforms, the likes of Spotify, Apple Podcasts, etc., etc. At Pinkun on Twitter, Facebook, we're at Pinkun. At Pinkun on Instagram, so all the social channels, or if you want to find me, then it's there. My Twitter handle is down below, so you can go and give that a follow for any sort of Norwich City based analysis, content, reaction. It's all there.
Super fantastic. We'll leave a link in the description as well to all of those websites. But thank you again for coming onto the podcast. I'd say good luck for Saturday, but I'm hoping for a Blues win. So I'll say not good luck for Saturday, but good luck for the rest of the season.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Keep right on, everyone.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
There's always something new and exciting happening in Montgomery County, Maryland. Join podcaster and business leader Kelly Leonard and me, Bob Levy, on another episode of Something to Talk About, where we speak with industry leaders making an impact in our county.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around, you've got your McNugget share box ready to go, your mates are already booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.